Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelson, and you are listening to STEM Spots. I just was reading a review of a book by Rob Bell. I don't know if you know who that is, a pastor who writes extensively about spirituality, whether it's in conflict with modern life, I guess I would say. And I read one person's review, I can't remember who it was, and they essentially said that the problem with the world is there's too much dependence on analytical thought and not enough dependence on spirituality. And I was really struck by that because I thought, how odd. Just look at the world over the last few years and certainly over the last few months, and I would say people spend very little time looking at the world analytically. In fact, they're confused most of the time about what science is, for example, and how science is even done. I don't know about you, but I watch YouTube, mostly music videos and a lot of other stuff like old Dick Cavett shows and interviews, and I like to read comments. YouTube comments are very telling, and I find that people are all the time complaining about science and the scientific method and how scientists seem to be wrong and how they're never right and how they always have to correct themselves, and I thought, isn't that interesting? People don't really know what the scientific method is. And then I thought, well, let's first talk about what it isn't. And what it's not is a search for capital T truth. Even though people love to hear about the God particle, and of course, you know, there's an aside to that, and they love to hear about whether or not we're going to turn into something at the end of the universe and whether there's going to be a big crunch and whether there was a big bang and all these big picture ideas. Scientists on a day-to-day life do not try to answer the big T truth question. They do not try to say, I'm going to set up this kind of a thing so that I can answer why are we here and what is our purpose and these kinds of big questions. Not only that, they do not even have the ability to necessarily say that the little t truth they come up with will be little t truth for very long. So the interesting part about that is, what is science then? So nature, you have to accept that it exists. You can get into a philosophical debate about that with a philosopher, but physicists essentially probe nature. They look out there, they see this thing, and they accept that it is there. They may ask questions about whether we interacted with it in spooky ways, quantum mechanically, let's say, but what they do is they probe nature. From the very beginning of science and the scientific method, you characterize and categorize and examine and experiment with nature. And that's what scientists primarily started off with. And that's what they typically do. Now, we'll leave the early Greek philosopher scientists out, except maybe Pythagoras and Democritus and a couple of other people. But what we're basically saying is there became this scientific method of examining nature in a variety of different methodologies and ways, and then tried to synthesize and describe models by which you can further predict and discover more about nature. Run those models up against new experiments, either predict the results of those new experiments or explain the results of those new experiments. And if so, then this model will be accepted as the little t truth for until it's not the little t truth anymore. Nobody says, oh, I have now discovered for all time that this is true. What they have done is they've discovered that by analyzing nature and running experiments that are repeated ad nauseum by many other scientists all over the world. For example, look up cold fusion and see what the history of that would be. They find that they can predict things, and if they synthesize them in a particular mathematical structure with particular assumptions, many of which are counterintuitive and have no analogy with the natural classical world that we live in, they can make new predictions. If those things happen, they start to categorize what we sometimes call as laws, theories, laws, depends on where they are in the stage. But we don't say, and no scientist ever says, this is the way it forevermore will be. Whether that's in the analysis of gravity from Newton's time, which lasted about 220 years or something like that before it was usurped by Einstein's general theory of relativity, to the idea of what light is, whether it's a particle or whether it's a wave, or maybe it's both, to the idea of what germs are, to the idea from where does disease come, and so forth and so on. You can see this exhibited with the whole hoo-ha about vaccines. You can see that people don't respect science, and they don't think analytically day to day. What they do is they mostly want to respond to things viscerally. So do they have their kids get their MMRs and DPTs, which almost every one of us who have children have done? Yes, they do. And their polio vaccine. Yes, they do. But now this new vaccine, because it's right in the middle of something and it becomes a polarizing thing, they don't think analytically about it. And this is very interesting to me. I'm going to talk more about this with some other people that I'll bring in over the next few weeks about people and their approach to science and whether they really spend their lives thinking analytically or not. Well, that's this week for Dave Cornelison on STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.